I'm Maria Khan, and I'm currently at NDRI, National Development and Research Institutes, but I completed pretty much this research at University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and so my co-authors, Jay Kaufman, Brian Pence, Brad Gaines, Ada Adamora, Sharon Weir, and Bill Miller, they're pretty much all North Carolina-based, and we're all Tar Heels, except Brian defected to the dark side, went to Duke. But I just wanted to say, this is a nationally representative data set, but it was actually field work in North Carolina conducted in communities pretty much similar to what Dr. Akers described that led me down the path of this research. I was working in with a research team studying STI and HIV determinants and the depression and almost fatalism of the field staff and of some of the respondents was pretty marked. And it really led me to think we can't be studying STIs without considering the mental health and the poor mental health experienced by the communities most affected by STIs. So as described before in the last presentation, STI is associated with, depression is associated with STI and multiple risky behaviors in cross-sectional studies. So there's about 1.5 to 4 times the increased odds of these outcomes in cross-sectional studies. However, there have been few longitudinal studies to examine the effect of depression on STI. One study was done among a nationally representative data set, and they found mixed results. So among adolescent boys, they had 3 times the level of STIs if they were depressed 1 year later when controlling for background STI and sociodemographic factors. But the same association, the predictive association, wasn't observed among girls. And among a sample of injection drug users in Baltimore, they also found a prediction of depression of risk behaviors, multiple partnerships. And there is a hypothesized causal pathway based on psychological literature to suggest how depression may work to increase risky behaviors in STI. So depression may disrupt self-regulation and encourage maladaptive behaviors such as emotional reactivity in relationships. And this may lead to increased risky behaviors and infection. And in addition, depression is associated with substance use, which is also a risk factor of risky behaviors and depression. Whoops. Okay. So for our study, we explored depression and STI using the National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health, or ADHealth, which is a nationally representative sample. During wave 1 in 1995, approximately 20,000 adolescents aged 12 to 21 years completed a baseline interview assessing characteristics including sexual behavior and depression. And then about 6 years later, about 14,000 were re-interviewed and testing for chlamydia, gonorrhea, and trichomonas was performed. So in this analysis, the primary aim of the study was to measure the association between depression, timing, and duration from adolescence into adulthood and the outcome of adulthood STI, and to assess whether high-risk sexual behaviors may underlie the associations between depression and STI. We also examined multiple partnerships and low condom use during sex. We wished to compare associations for minorities and whites, and so for the analysis, the primary aim we included approximately 10,000 Black, Latino, and white men and women who all had complete sample weight variables and non-messing data on STI and depression. So for the exposure, depression timing, and duration, we used the CESD, a modified version with 9 items that were common to both waves 1 and 3. And we identified cut points for the symptoms suggestive of major depression on our 9-item scale that were proportional to cut points for depression based on the full CESD, and we calculated a score for depression in adolescence and adulthood, and then identified whether the respondent was depressed in adolescence, adulthood, or both. Based on this, we coded a 4-level exposure variable. So respondents were categorized as having chronic depression if they had depression at wave 1 in adolescence and wave 3 in adulthood, recent depression if they had depression in adulthood but not adolescence, prior depression if they had depression in adolescence but not adulthood, and no depression if they had depression at either time point. We examined three dichotomous outcomes. First, biologically confirmed infection with chlamydia, gonorrhea, or trich. And then also, as mentioned, multiple partnerships in the past year as adults, and never use of condoms during sex in the past year. We stratified analyses by gender and race ethnicity based on preliminary investigation of effect modification with these variables. And we used gender-specific logistic regression models for survey data and included an interaction term for minority status. For all exposure outcome relationships, we estimated unadjusted odds ratios and 95% confidence intervals. And for multivariable analyses, for depression and STI, we conducted multivariable analyses in which we also adjusted for adolescent STI, respondent age, and socioeconomic indicators. And we also explored substance use in adolescence as a confounder. And now for the results. Overall, about 6% were infected with gonorrhea, chlamydia, or trich. And as you see, infection was markedly higher among African-American and Latina women at 16% and their male counterparts at 12% compared with whites, which had a prevalence of about 5% or less. Nearly a quarter of young adults had ever had depression, according to our measurement of it. And again, this is a measurement of symptoms suggestive of major depression. 12% had prior depression, 7% recent depression, 5% chronic depression. And as you see, minority women had the highest levels of depression, 36%, followed by minority men and white women, and white men were the least likely to be depressed in the sample. In the next series of slides, I'll present the associations in this graphical format. So the blue dot is the odds ratio, and the white line is the 95% confidence interval. And anything above the horizontal line at 1 indicates a positive association between depression and STI. So we'll start with Black and Latina women, because they were most likely to be infected and most likely to be depressed. Minority women with prior depression had about 1.6 times the odds of STI in adulthood, compared with their counterparts with no depression history. And this is adjusting for sociodemographics and adolescent STI. And when further adjusting for substance use in adolescence, the association was slightly attenuated and no longer statistically significant. It was less precise as well. And this is because adolescent girls who were depressed were also more likely to be using substances in adolescence. Now when we look at the risk behaviors, we see that depression was not associated with multiple partnerships among minority women. And prior and recent depression wasn't associated with never using condoms during sex in the past year. However, those with chronic depression were slightly more likely to have inadequate condom use during sex. And now for minority men. Among Black and Latino men, prior and recent depression was not associated with STI. However, those with chronic depression, so depression in adolescence and adulthood, they were over 2 times more likely to be infected with an STI in adulthood. And again, the overall prevalence of infection is 6% in the sample, and this group of chronically depressed men had a prevalence of about 25%. When further adjusting for substance use in adolescence, we see the association weakens, but it remains. Now for behaviors. Depression was not associated with multiple partnerships among Black and Latino men. And among this group, prior depression was associated with never using a condom during sex, but it was not associated with recent depression. Chronic depression was strongly associated with never using a condom during sex in the past year, and it appears, therefore, that chronic depression may contribute to these high infection levels among this group of chronically depressed men. Now for white women. So prior and recent depression was not associated with STI among white women, and surprisingly, white women with chronic depression had lower levels of STI than those with no depression history. Now, even though depression wasn't associated with infection, when you look at the behaviors, depression was associated with multiple partnerships, and prior and chronic depression was associated with never using a condom in the past year. Infection level, this risky behavior didn't obviously translate to infection levels, disproportionate infection levels among depressed white women. And among white men, STI was not significantly associated with prior, recent, or chronic depression, And all estimates you see are quite imprecise due to the low prevalence of STI among this group of men. And also among white men, there was little evidence that depression was associated with the risk behaviors. So the study supported prior findings that depression is associated with STI and related behaviors among some but not all groups, and particularly it's associated with STI among minorities. So black and Latino men with chronic depression and black and Latina women with prior depression were disproportionately infected. It appears that low condom use may contribute to STI in these groups. And the findings point to a need for improved integration of mental health, substance use, and STI prevention for minority youth, not only because they're more likely to be affected by each of these morbidities, but the associations are stronger. And that said, depression was associated with high-risk behaviors among white women, even though it did not translate into higher infection levels. And this is most likely due to the low prevalence of infection among the partners of white women. However, if an infection gets into the sexual network of white women, these risky behaviors could translate to higher levels of infection. And the limitations, even though we had, you know, longitudinal data set and we were able to measure chronic depression and biologically confirmed STI, there were elements of a cross-sectional analysis in this longitudinal type study because we wanted to look at chronic depression, and AdHealth Wave 4 wasn't out at the time when we conducted the analysis. Also, substance use was treated as a confounder because it does underlie both depression and STI, but there's a sort of circular relationship hypothesized, and depression can also lead to substance use, and so therefore including it in the model in some cases might bias estimates downward. And then finally, depression measurement here, it was based on the CESD, and so it wasn't a clinical diagnosis of depression, so it's probably overly sensitive and not as specific. And for further study, I think the findings are suggestive of depression contributing to STI, but we really need to use AdHealth Wave 4 to look at chronic depression and do a fully longitudinal analysis so that we don't have these cross-sectional elements in our study. Thank you. Yes. Well, we controlled for socioeconomic indicators, mother's education and respondent education, but you mean like the broken windows effect?
Or poverty or some measure of...
There were problems with missing data with the income variable, but we did have socioeconomic indicators included, functional poverty status and respondent education and education of the mother. So just to give some estimate of the differences in SES. It probably could be more exhaustively. But I mean, also an important thing to note is they may be confounded by these variables, but they're still co-occurring. So just because people in poor neighborhoods are affected by depression and STI, potentially because of poverty, it's also an indicator of increased risk and where we can be putting our resources. I mean, these are morbidities happening in the same populations. And so I think that some of these, there are circular relationships that certainly the environment increases depression, which further, you know, increases, which I think can contribute back to the environment also. So thanks. Yes? She was asking if we controlled for marital status and condom use. So we looked at condom use among people with multiple partnerships. I didn't specify that. Thanks.
Just a quick comment. One of the things that I always find interesting about studies that are sort of looking at STI outcomes is
Sure.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, depression wasn't associated with increased levels of multiple partnerships among Black and Latino men and women. It was associated with differential infection, and it was associated with risky behaviors among white women. But the infection levels in the pool of the sexual partners available to the white women didn't translate into higher infection levels. And so that's exactly right. Mm. Oh, I see.
Given how hard it is to treat depression on a population-wide basis to account for and to overcome those other factors, let me ask you the same question I asked the previous author, which is, what ideas have you generated or your colleagues generated about, okay, so we've got these high levels of depression, what do we do about them
on a population-wide basis? I mean, I am all for addressing poverty. I mean, I think poverty underlies like all of these, you know, morbidities and what we're calling exposures and outcomes. But depression is a treatable morbidity, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't also be doing research and highlighting the importance of poor neighborhood quality and poverty as underlying all of these factors. But depression is treatable. It's undiagnosed. It's disproportionately undiagnosed in minority communities and disproportionately untreated in minority communities. And so at least this is one piece of the puzzle, and it's not purporting to explain everything. And if we, you know, cure depression, we're gonna like eliminate STIs or anything. But it's one piece of the puzzle, and certainly other things have to be explored at the same time.
Can I ask one more question? Which is, I know
just ask the rest of the room as well.
Sorry, I know almost nothing about how to treat depression. Certainly, and for those of us who are in the STI field, are you saying if we want to gain a foothold in depression on a population-wide basis, are we talking mass doses of antidepressants? Are we talking somehow ramping up therapy, which seems what?
Well, you know, depression can be treated both medically and with counseling. And for some persons, they might respond better to a medical approach. And in some communities, counseling is more... it's more costly, honestly, you know, to bring in people to train them. You know, but it's a good point. What is the implication for how much depression diagnosis and, you know, medication should be done? But I think that just the idea that there is undiagnosed depression, I mean, this is a morbidity that affects not only their health risk, but their entire life. So I haven't translated that into how we would pay for it, you know, into how we would provide, you know, which specific antidepressants and that sort of thing. But it's a good point of the rollout aspect.
Second.
That's a good point. I don't know the studies about depression treatment by race and which depression treatments are more effective or less effective in white communities versus minority communities. From what I have from my colleagues' research, they are using treatments in primarily minority communities to, for example, improve HIV adherence to drug medications. So they're using these typically, general population medications in minority communities. But it's a good point to research exactly which therapies are more would be better suited for those communities. Yes. Right.
We don't have a good handle on causal relationships that we want to be as good as it. Could you reflect for me, I'd love to hear your opinions about, we don't have infinite amount of resources.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Sevgi is asking about individual level versus contextual level research and interventions, possibly. So whether interventions should be done at the population level versus individual level. I do think that there has been too much emphasis on individual level, both research and interventions. And now there is more research being done, contextual analyses on which, interventions, contextual level interventions can be based. At the same time, people are still living with these individual level morbidities. So I think both have to go hand in hand, and I don't think one should usurp the other. So I think that you have to do a two-tiered approach. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Going back to policy, for example, when we talk about being men, not a man, and so forth, we just see why are we not talking about civil rights?
Mm-hmm. Point well taken. And can I just say one thing? My whole dissertation research was on effects of incarceration on STI and HIV risk. And that, with this North Carolina experience, led me to look at depression, and incarcerated men were the most likely to be depressed. I mean, this is what led me to look at minority men and depression. But so, just to... No, but I'm saying... We struggle, I think, we try to do contextual analyses, and it's true, in the field, the paradigm is individual level, so the point is very well taken, and I think more needs to be in the literature, too, to reflect that exact sentiment.
Thank you.
Thank you.